So you kind of know what Kevin's going to do. What's he going to do with the last one?
No, he's already done it.
I know that. That's why you know what he's going to do. Sorry. Did I seem annoyed? I'm not. I am confused, and I hate being confused, so I get annoyed. No, I mean, from his dry run,
he's going to do...
How's he going to end it, you know?
Case studies.
Just case studies.
Many case studies. I have his lesson.
Yeah, that'd be great.
That, although we modified it some, the case studies were kind of like...
They were good, but just not enough time.
Too many of them?
He was going to have, like, break them into groups and then go through different sections of the chapter.
Okay.
And they were going to be, like, in and out every 2 to 3 minutes.
Oh, thanks.
So what we suggested to him, that's not the plan.
Yeah.
What we suggested to him on the plan, the other plan,
that's not the plan. Okay.
Was instead assign those sections to one group, give them more time in those groups, and then let them report out on it.
So one group for each one?
Yes.
Okay.
Because the timing is just 2 minutes.
So parallelize the group activities, basically. Yeah.
I mean, he has some really good mini cases.
Yeah, are they in the material here?
They're in the material.
Yep, yeah,
he's got it. Too many of them to yeah. really... So he's still kind of thinking about how to narrow down the ones he wants the groups to discuss. Go through, but there's a lot of application. The other thing he did in his lesson sheet that hasn't been done, which I think is really good, is they don't have to be just questions and work that people do. If you have something you want to teach, you want to put it in the lesson sheet, put it in.
Yeah.
So he's got some good summaries
in
the applications. And we talked about sometimes your material when you prepare it could include things you actually want to teach.
It could be material, but I'll ask you guys to self-experiment here. When you see a section that has no question mark in it, and you're rushing to prepare the lesson, what do you do with that?
You bypass it.
Sometimes I do.
Read it right before class.
Or something, yeah. So there's a little danger there. Part of the point of having a question mark or a blank to fill in or something is just you force it. But no, that's good.
Well, in his case in particular, because he's got more questions than anybody else can ask. So
right.
We talked a little bit about either cut some of those questions out or combine some of them, like those first two there, into one question so at least it doesn't look like you have 7 questions to answer. You only have 4 or 5.
Nice. Right. Right. These are very factual questions, aren't they? I mean, there's a little analysis. What is the point of, would this section be encouraging to Timothy? What do you think, there's a good loop, caused Paul's differing reactions to Alexander? Okay, so good, all good. So that's good. All right. So that's looking ahead. All right, I'm sorry, I just was wondering. And then...
Josh did this.
So, quick summary of, and you have, what do you have? The second half of what he's about to cover here. Right.
I don't have like paperwork, but
okay.
Mostly I was doing class discussion for the majority of my class. Maybe about 10 review questions that they were to do at home, kind of reviewed at the beginning of class.
Yeah.
Go to a class discussion, and then I was gonna go over applications at the end, but I guess my questions were too personal to really no one would want to discuss them. Basically, because it would be pointing out stuff that you lack, I guess, as a Christian. I think. I don't know.
I hope they talked you out of that.
Personal. I mean,
thinking that, I mean.
Not, they didn't like talk me out of it, it just brought it to my attention.
Okay.
Some people might not want to discuss what they have.
Yeah.
Nothing wrong with asking the question.
That's right. No, that's right.
Prepared for what
Right.
But you also had 3 groups that you. Those questions above that, he was going to reword them to be the questions that he wants to be discussed in the group.
Got it. Perfect. So it's an instruction sheet as well as just the question.
Right.
Okay. All right.
Take more guided discussion.
Okay.
Yeah.
So let me hold this. Whoever I got this one to, while Sam's. Okay. Go ahead.
Do you have it? Yeah, he's still on the
track. Yes, I am.
Okay. Yeah, so I want to start with the objectives, the planning worksheet. The first one is list three archetypes and their associated attributes to emulate.
From this chapter or from this section or something, is that?
Yes.
Is that what you mean? Okay.
Yes. From the passage.
Yeah, you might add that phrase in there just.
Yeah. Second one is list two specific examples of hardship endured and the inferences on how to imitate them.
Okay. Good.
The third is
leaning into the application. Yeah.
Yeah. And making personal applications based on the attributes studied in the passage. That's the third objective.
Okay, that's not a measurable objective. So I think you might just say list them, right? In other words, if I could repeat some applications, mm-hmm. and this might help with, I don't want to tell you what all my weaknesses are and all the things I need to improve, but I can sure tell you in the abstract what some other people I know need to do, you know, or something like that. So list some personal applications would be...
So if you look at the handout, the back page of the handout, so towards the end when I cover the applications, they're given the space to fill it out at the end of the class. And to also sort of take it home and meditate on those applications.
Okay. And that's great. That is wonderful. So even I can see in your objectives, you're pushing that kind of a sequence through toward a life change. What can I do differently by Tuesday? Because I'm OCD about this, maybe you could put plan personal applications. Because that's what you're really doing. You're writing a plan to do those.
Right.
You'll not be able to give an exam and go follow these people up and see that they did those, make those changes in their life. But good, these are some things.
Yes. And the activities that I use to accomplish are, so can I go with the class seated plan?
That's easier, back. Yeah.
Yeah. So the beginning of the class, I want to do a short review of the flashcards and the themes. Of First and Second Timothy, and give an introduction to the class and the emphasis on a particular topic and how it connects to the themes. And the second class period activity, I want to start by reading the first couple of verses, verses 1 and 2. Followed by a discussion of the text-based questions, which is in A1 through A3 in the handout. And I say make the class open up by having open discussion of answers. Emphasize on words and phrases from text that answer the questions. Take brief comments, if any, but move quickly in this section. So it's just an introduction of the chapter and setting the background of how Paul is communicating to Timothy and what he wants to emphasize, and answering some questions in the handout. So do you want me to cover the content of the passage as well?
Sorry, I was just thinking about that. I should look at your questions. That's the content you have in mind. Exhortation.
Yeah, exhortation.
The qualifier for men to be able to teach.
So it will be a brief discussion of what it means by faithful men. Why is faithful men more important than
I'm
anything?
Sorry, we're not for teaching.
But it comes to teaching.
Mm-hmm.
And where is Timothy likely to have heard from Paul in front of many witnesses?
Mm-hmm.
So those are the key questions.
Okay.
So
really, you're hoping then that really, from the standpoint of the class behavior, that 7 minutes is going to not only just get an introduction, but really loosen area. That's kind of what you were saying there, right?
Yes.
Open up by open discussion. So,
yes,
you'll have to work on that. It could have the opposite effect, right?
Right.
The class could, like, you know, challenge you by not saying anything, and you demonstrate that you keep talking when they don't say anything, so they win, you know, or something like that.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. What ideas do you have if they don't talk? Strategy. I think making simplistic questions should be able to just get them started, give them the confidence to start speaking up, and then just asking for a comment every now and then, I think it gives them that ease that I'm here to let them speak and not just talk.
So here you have three closed-in questions. And if they do talk, you may be done in 2.5 minutes. Mm-hmm. If you want a little more discussion, you may want to think about it. You don't have to just restrict yourself to these two questions. You may have some other questions about one and two. You may want something that's a little more open-ended to answer that forces. Once you get the quick answers and get them warmed up, something like a talk discussion.
Yeah, I think these questions in themselves have a window where I can interject and add more thoughts and bring more from the background of how Timothy and Paul, how Timothy could have witnessed with Paul, where he could have traveled, and what the motivation of Paul is to be delivering these things through Timothy.
So those, all that you're saying right there, those kinds of things. So here's a suggestion. So just what do y'all think? Help predict what will happen. Comes in, he starts asking fairly easy, closed ended questions, Russ says. There's an answer, where might Paul have heard, where might Timothy have heard Paul? So who's going to answer first? We're actually in that scenario right this second.
Somebody who has an idea of...
Yes, right. Almost a predictable person, really. It'll be somebody who often talks in class. Sorry, Corey. No, but you know what I'm saying. You know that'll happen, right? Somebody who's fairly confident, they'll be near the front and all that. So if the intent is that is just to kind of generate involvement and looseness and casual and comfort, maybe is a better way to say it. I do think some of those exercises where you throw out a question, and you listed some of those just now, and I've already forgotten what they are, but you were saying why there's really more depth around these questions, or that you can introduce that depth with just a couple of comments. Why don't you just do that? Lay it out to the class and say, take about 30 seconds and talk. What was it? What did David call it?
Like
neighbor share, care share, pair, or something like that. What's that?
I said Douglas. He said that first when he was visiting.
Oh, he did.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, yeah. So my son, I was Sunday morning. He was teaching Ezekiel in Houston. I was out there, and he had a fairly complicated. It was a question. They were doing a review. They got through the first major section of Ezekiel, all the condemnations, and they're coming up on the hope section. But he said, what practical things have we learned from this so far? Y'all talk to each other, And actually, I think he's done that enough. It's an auditorium class with people spread all over the place. It's, way too big of a building for the group they had there. And it helped. And then he said, okay, would anyone like to share what someone else in your group said? And all the whole point of that is two things. One is they start talking. It was easy. They were not in front of everybody. They're talking to somebody they already know, or they wouldn't be sitting by them, Anyway, that if that's part of your goal, I think that's a good way to do it. So if you're going to generate those more thoughtful kinds of questions. Give them a chance, and then that kind of rehearsal in the small groups. And by the time we get to your class, I hope they're used to doing that. So it wouldn't be, although the new thing is the new guy up front, you know. So just a suggestion. I'll just share this little thing that Sewell does, probably. I don't know if he ever teaches an auditorium anymore, but he used to do it all the time. And, you know, if you knew he was doing it, you kind of knew why. He would always start the class by calling on someone to lead the prayer. And it would be someone on the back row or the very back of the auditorium. Why do you think you did that?
So that everyone could hear.
To let
them know that he was, you know, to try to get the people that probably weren't trying to be involved.
That's right. It was, yeah.
He did that one night to me. He didn't even ask for a prayer. He asked a question. I was sitting on the very back row because I got there a little bit late.
Right.
And I'm like, why did he call on me? Right. You know, he never does that. And then he came in and he explained what you're about to explain.
Yeah.
And the purpose behind it.
That's right. It's kind of what you're saying. Everybody in this room, even you guys on the very way, you know, upper decks up there, you know, you're expected to be involved in. To be participants, right?
So. Yeah. He told me, he said, if they hear a voice from the very back, everybody in between feels comfortable opening up and talking. Voice from the very back early in the
morning. Sorry. More hints, not exactly relevant, but that's a little trick. You can try that, somebody in the room. And then when they talk to each other, if there's somebody that you think will be okay with you calling them out by name, call on somebody in the back that might not be the first one that's going to answer, or that sat with someone who probably had really good answers and say, what'd you hear in your group? Then they get, well, he said, you know, then now I'm completely off the hook. If it's a stupid answer, I didn't even say it. I'm just repeating what I heard. Sorry, just some ideas. All right, sorry, so we got more time.
Yeah, so next I want to read verses 3 to 7 and form 3 different groups for the group activity. And what it is one profession for each group. Equally divided groups for soldier, farmer, and athlete, and I want them to answer some generic questions about each profession as a group. What I mean by that is, for example, let's take soldier. I want all of these groups to list 10 attributes of whatever profession that they are a part of. So, for example, putting the soldier in different scenarios, when is subordination come into play, and you know, coming up with different traits like courage, bravery, alertness, all of those things.
Hardship, yeah.
So each group comes up with those attributes between themselves. They're talking amongst each other, and I also want to have some bonus questions if they get ahead and do those 10. I want them to, so this will be specific to each different profession. For example, listing 5 names of soldiers in the Bible.
Yeah, good.
And how that relates to how they showed those characteristics that they have come up with. So I want to have that specific time-bound exercise within 9 minutes where I cover this, where they've come up with. And I want to engage with them, standing beside them and listening and seeing how they are coming up with those answers. And
when are the questions addressed? The questions on text?
Yeah. So the next portion of it is when I get to more specific questions about each of those professions. So I want to start by obviously getting them to say those 10 different attributes that they came up with. And then I want to lead them to answer the two or three specific questions that I have for each of those profession, and I want to do that so that it leads to some sort of thinking about how I want to apply this for myself. But I'm not explicitly saying that at that juncture, but they're at least starting to think about, because it's being repeated over and over again, all of these different qualities and the questions around them. For example, for the soldier, I have a few different questions. Some of them have not listed in the handout, but I think for the soldier one I did put it. So what does civilian pursuit imply about other kinds of pursuits, and what is the aim of a good soldier,
so these will have been worked on at home for those who did the lesson.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, but you kind of you come back to that as part of the processing of the group discussions. Is that right?
Well, it says covering class familiar myself.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. So I'm thinking I'm answering those at home. They got question marks. I'm gonna go for it. You know.
Mm-hmm.
But you get around to that. They surely will be one of those. What's in here will surely show up in the 10 attributes, right?
What's in here as in...
These questions, the athlete. So I'm thinking one of the 10 is going to be, he tries to win a prize. Number another one will be, he has to mm-hmm. follow rules. Or he has to learn and know the rules of the game. You know, or something. Those are going to be a part of the 10.
Right.
And with the soldier, the same thing. He's got to be focused. He can't be distracted.
Right.
And then the aim is to win. And, you know, so that's going to be, that's going to show up in the 10 attributes.
Yes.
That's what I think.
And I say here that I also have a master list that I create, which I'll be displaying while we are discussing at this point.
Okay.
Which will have all of those traits and attributes. And basically what I want to do with each of those attributes is to discuss a little bit of what it means spiritually and have a small bit of application that I talk about.
Okay. Okay, here's the dilemma. Help solve this, you know. So he's got his own list, right? But I think in your favor here, you know what I'm about to say is a lot of times you put the question up, I've got my own list, class weights, just look at your list. You're not playing the read Marty's mind game. We're tired of that. But actually in this case you could almost have it where the groups have worked really hard now for 9 minutes. You could almost present it as like a competition. What did you think of it that I didn't? Or my list is obviously not going to be as well thought out as y'all because there's so many of you and you're so smart. So you kind of put a setting in place where it's not a read my mind or one of those. What's the concentration game where you turn the block over? Oh, that's not it. Where was that one? Oh, there it is. You know, you turn it into kind of a find my answer on the board kind of thing.
And I was kind of hoping that I construct the master list along with what I have
mm-hmm.
while I'm doing some of this because I want to use it at the end in the personal application, if that makes sense. So it's the list that I'm compiling with the help of the class.
Okay.
In addition to...
What's the visual for doing that? Or are you not making a visual? Are you going to type it on the screen?
I'm going to type it on the screen, yeah.
Okay, good. So you're typing as you go, not...
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. The ones that I didn't fill up, the class part of.
Oh, so you're typing the extra ones.
The extra ones, yes.
Okay. Yeah. I've never found out quite, besides a blackboard, you know, or a whiteboard, the right tool, the PowerPoint approach. When I really do want the class to come up with it, I'm happy to use their order, their wording, and everything. But I need to have my notes on the screen. So how do you do that? You know, they say something and I click and the right one appears somehow, even though it's the fourth one in my list or something like that.
Right.
there's a way to do that.
I'm sure there's a software. Is there?
You got to remember like where your answers are at. I've done it before where you can, if you click the spot that it's in, it will appear. But
I know I get overly excited and enthusiastic if they answer them in the order I have.
That's right.
Oh, that's the first one I have.
That's right. Of course, you do your
like,
standby.
Like, they really care, but not
you missed
right.
one.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Does someone else want to answer?
Well, look at that one in the
middle. So, double guessing game. Not only what they are, but what order you put them in. Right.
Or don't even put up your list, or don't even let them know that you have a list.
Yeah, it won't come in until this part where I said master list is just saying on this game. So they already worked through
this game.
All of it.
Those were nostalgic. You know, it seemed like I always felt like the classes were the best one. You know, I didn't come in with anything. There were no PowerPoint, no computers. But you could whack away with a piece of chalk on the board, and before it was over, you had it all filled up, and it was like a map of what you'd talked about, really. And it was all student inputs, kind of. But, if they looked at my notes, I had probably drawn something in my preparation that looks about like what ended up on the blackboard. But it looked like we're constructing this. These are your ideas. This is brilliant stuff, you know. And this one is, James's point. This is so-and-so's point. You know what I mean? There's an ownership about it.
I have to share a story on you. So Marty was so good at doing that with the chalkboard or whiteboard. He got stuck in a classroom because we were renovating at one point, and there was no chalkboard. It was a little bitty room. I know actually the room that you first come in used to be a little classroom.
Half of that room, I think.
And I walked by one night, and he has stuck sheets of paper up on the wall and tacked them on so he could write on those sheets of paper to be able to teach the class.
Yeah,
but it worked.
So I taught math. That's what you do. You learn to write and race right behind while you're doing all the equations.
It works well, too, is having the whiteboard as your screen, kind of like the high school classroom has a whiteboard.
Oh, that's right. And it has an electronic pen.
Yeah.
Oh, that would be perfect.
Like underlining some
right.
stuff.
Right.
Another
technique I have done quite often where there is a whiteboard is I'll raise the screen. There's a whiteboard behind it.
Yeah.
I will size the text that's going to be projected so that it fits the whiteboard, right? And then I mark on the whiteboard so I can. But
that's what you were talking about, right? You can mark on the whiteboard.
Yeah.
But you're talking about electronically.
No, you can just use the whiteboard.
Got it.
You keep the PowerPoint
perfect.
There, but you can circle things.
Yeah. That's what I was saying.
Yeah.
If you want to spend the extra money, get the electronic.
Right.
Yeah, when I was in high school, they had these smart boards, and go the teacher would tap it,
right,
and then the pins would activate, and they could
write colors, everything.
Yeah, you could literally just write anything you wanted to. Well, I thought it was cool.
Yeah, I think there are a lot of good tools. I've come across some of those. I might end up using.
You want to try one?
Yeah.
You'd be the David Williams, bring out quizzes and crowd
quiz for the expansion.
Yeah.
I
kind of got demotivated when the whiteboards came in just because it just seemed like the pens never write. You know, those old chalk things, they never gave out of ink. They just kept on. Anyway. What I like about this will be a good exercise where you've got 10 things. That's 30 things, right? It's good. One every 30 seconds or more.
Yeah. So one of the reasons why I put 10 is I want them to aspire to get to 10.
Yeah.
And what I wrote here was
like
push them to find more answers.
Yeah, I saw that. Now, I also thought, so you're going to somehow be able to be listening to all three groups, following their discussion, note that they've gotten 10, they just need their bonus question now. Or they're only at 2 and they can't think of anything else. Yeah, all that's all good.
Yeah.
And that is the value of the small groups. Yeah.
So,
you worry that some of those answers won't have any relationship to what the text is actually about?
So, which is why I think the reading of the text conditions them to think at least in a spiritual direction.
Yeah.
Which is why I read first and then to go and read it. But even in a generic sense, I think even if they do come up with some traits, I think I will try to move away from them if they don't have a direct spiritual application.
So I believe the text, when he gets done with all those, he says, think on these things, like, you know, keep pushing on these ideas or something, right?
Verse 7.
Think over what I studied, for the Lord will give what you understand.
It's almost like there's more to be discovered here if you keep working at it.
Yes.
And maybe that's what we're actually doing in
class. That's one other thing,
I do remember teaching in middle school or whatever it is, sub high school class. And I remember thinking they probably are just now learning enough about sports and stuff like that. And I remember myself making the chart, not asking them, which is probably bad teaching. Here are lessons from athletics or something. Because I think somebody was in there who was like running cross country for the first time, you know. And there's things like, you know, you do better if you have a partner, right? Or, I don't know. It's hard when you first start, but then it gets easier and then it gets fun. You know those kind of lessons. I thought, there's spiritual analogies for all of those. But if you just starting out in sports, you know, and think about it a lot, you can come up with that. You know?
Yeah.
But of course, I didn't think of it as a class. This would be a good way to do it.
Yeah, and I think it's on the teacher to kind of shape whatever is being brought up to give it a spiritual direction, and maybe there'll be some challenges there. But
no, it's good. I think having read the questions and the text and all will be all right. Good. You actually say you're going to read the. Are you going to give the assignment before the reading?
Which one?
Well, you have reading of the text in the, as an activity.
I'm going to read it.
Okay. Again, I always recommend having something to look for. So if they already had their assignments, you know, they might be pay attention that way.
Which one are you talking about?
Right here. We say read the text.
Right.
And but then you have these questions they're in groups about. You can give them their group assignments before you read it. That might give them a little more interest to it. I don't know.
Okay.
I'm just trying to find a way to make the text engaging. And when you're looking for something, like find the three images in here. Or let's think about analogies to our Christian walk. In all of these, as we read this, or, you know, that's what you should be looking for, or something like that.
So you're saying have them in a group formation first.
This is not a very not a strict assignment, not a group. But I'm just saying you could already have assigned the groups and said before you do it, let's all read the text together. They should have a more interest in it because of their assignment. That's just an idea. Okay.
And then after covering through verse 7, I read verses 8 through 10. So we moved on from three abstract examples. Now we want to move to two specific examples of people who kind of exemplify these characteristics that's been shown in the text and also sort of discussed in the text in the group activity. And I want to discuss the questions C1 through C3.
And are the people Jesus and Paul, or is it Jesus and David? I guess it's not David, right? He just mentioned there.
Yeah.
Okay.
It says, remember Jesus, and therefore I endure everything.
Right. Okay.
The reason I want to do that is, I think that's the progression of this chapter. I think there's three abstract professions, and then there's two examples of how people did it. But it's not as direct. It's somewhat an inference that you make in how it's presented. So I want to discuss these questions. What was Jesus subjected to, and what was his reward? How is Paul suffering in these verses? why does Paul endure suffering? So there's a bit of thought and analysis coming in from the fact-based questions that we've already talked about. And then I want to move to the application questions. But before that, I think how do you think about the time that has gone in all of this so far?
You don't have enough. I mean, yeah, but I would say that for anything. I mean, you never have enough.
Yeah.
But here's the dilemma you have.
Mm-hmm.
What if the group's, you're 6, 7, 8 minutes in, and you're walking around, and what you hear is, man, this is really good stuff. They're doing good. So you want to cut it off or not? You know what I mean?
Right.
I've had that experience before. I'm thinking the group is actually covering about what I want to cover anyway. So you can get jealous and stop them so you get the credit for covering it. Or you can just let it go because they're actually, they're actually getting where you want them to be. So I don't know. It's a football play, right? You don't know what that means, but, right? Sometimes if you're scrambling and you're making lots of yards, you just keep doing it, But,
call them off.
Yeah.
Kind of like a...
What's that?
Kind of like an RPO. Run option pass. You then decide. Depending on how the defense lines up, do you run it or do you pass it?
Right.
It's like a split second decision.
So I'm not suggesting you just throw it up as in random, but I think it's likely. Especially, I like the fact that he's challenging with 10. Try to get to 10, right? And then he's going to wander around and see how that's going.
Are you going to berate them
if
they only get
to 10? All that to say, it just seems likely to me that you're going to get a lot of good discussion. And then, once they're done, you cut them off at 9, 12 minutes to cover 30 attributes, which you may not, they don't have to get to 10 each, but that's fast. And so some don't deserve a lot of attention, but some will, a lot. So it's going to be very difficult. And I'm thinking, we've given up on the doxology or this hymn or whatever this thing is at the end. What's your thought about that?
I really don't know how I want to get into that and just mention that if I have to. But it's covered in the text questions.
Okay, but you're saying it 5 till the end. Sorry, go ahead, Russ.
Well, I was just going to say, I think one thought that's in it, I don't know how you get it out otherwise, but the idea that verse 8, Christ is risen from the dead, and then verse 11, if we've died with him, we will also live with him. I think that emphasis on the resurrection is just a big deal.
Yeah.
And there's lots of quick phrases like that throughout the New Testament that don't quite catch your attention until you put them all together and go, wow, the resurrection's everywhere.
Yeah, I think death and resurrection, I think I'm bringing that up as hardship and suffering and how
you call it a reward with Christ.
And reigning, I think, is the phrase too.
But you could jump from verse 8. I mean, in your discussion of verse 8, you could jump down to some things that are in that trustworthy saying.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Especially if your idea is his endurance and his suffering. There it is. If we die with him, if we endure, and so forth.
Yeah. So, however you want to do that, I'm not pushing you to cover that in detail.
Right.
You're saying that at 5 minutes till, you've got to stop and move to application. That's kind of what you're saying here. Because this idea of skipping suggests that, if you get to 5, there's a hard interrupt, right? And then you skip to that.
Yeah. I mean, at this point, they're already thinking about applications in their head for a while, so it's easy to just move and spit it out on the paper.
Right.
What's the most
that you guys have spent on applications that you felt was fruitful? 20 minutes of class, last third of class, last half of class.
Whole class.
The whole class? But I mean, if you had a really mature, I mean, whole class, you have to have a really mature group there, right? Aces, they got the content.
You're spitting out patterns,
you're spitting out relationships. Then you can.
Well.
I'm just curious, like, because you guys have done this so long.
Right. So application is more of it's a step in the flow of learning. The question might be rephrased, how much time do you spend on activities that are aimed at generating application ideas, So this is a non-answer. So, you know what I mean? If I give you a case study, there's not any verses in it at all. I'm hoping you will see in that story, it looks like Kevin's little one-liners are kind of like that. You would see in that story some way that you should make a change in your life, right? I think that it's almost limitless. I don't think people would get bored of that. Maybe they would. And I can remember some classes where after the whole core class period after class period, probably being dry textual stuff, we kind of said, okay, here's a long case, it's half a page, y'all go in the classroom down the hall, there's nobody in there, and work on this, and come back in about 25 minutes and tell us what you found. We did that with men in a marriage class, and sit the women in one room and the men in another with two sides of kind of the same case. Like, what would you do? And had them come back and talk about the differences in the answers and the differences in the challenges and things. But that assumes that you prepared for that, with whatever Bible basis you have. And maybe, you have a class of people that already know the Bible so well, that's not the issue. The issue is we just all need to be good at something that we're not really working at. Something like a personal work class or something like that, I don't know.
Sometimes the text itself, just the flow of thought in the text is an application early on. And I don't know that I would necessarily, I recognize the flow of the teaching and all, but if you're trying to bring out the full meaning of the text,
and there is
an application, verse, like there's an exhortation to do something in it, that might be where I do the application stuff. Let's talk about that verse. Let's have some open-ended questions about how to actually do what this verse is telling us we're supposed to do. But
I don't remember. I think David did something like that, didn't he? And it was the first, isn't it 2 Timothy 1? What he had? Why are we afraid? Or wasn't that his material? Well, right there in the text, it's pretty close to being an application about being fearful or not being ashamed or something like that. Right, so go ahead. Yeah, so it's not exactly an activity. I think that Russ is pointing out it can be sprinkled all through. Maybe that's a better plan than saving it all till the end. But and it's not like you're going to be building to that anyway through all of that.
Yeah, and your first application question, that one definitely is going to flow right out of all those attributes that you've gone through. And if you're short on time, I think you'd go to your second application question. It's a little open-ended question. And you would not have spent quite as much time on it. Maybe you would have a rest when you do that second.
Yeah, I mean, the application questions, I want them to attempt in the class, but also take it home and continue on with some of it.
I like their space though, because it gives them the commitment to kind of going.
Right?
It's not
right.
Just in their head, and they're like, oh, yeah, I gave that very same spot.
As a matter of fact, you could almost push it, that's a good point, push it to write a plan, write an action that you can take as, within the next week or something. Yeah, okay, let's go. Good, we'll see y'all Sunday. And we can go. I want to sort out all the, whatever the logistics are. Are you finding the template hard to use? I noticed everybody's template looks very different. Well, we'll talk about it. What we can do better.
Yeah, I almost... try about making like a, you know, my